Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Earlier this month, we reported on the announcement of a major revitalization project coming to Wilmington's Northeast Riverside neighborhood. The plan over the next decade is to transform Riverside by addressing housing, education, and community resource needs. We actually saw the first hints of what may be coming to the neighborhood in contributor Larry Nagengast's piece on the proposed teen warehouse back in October. With more of the plan now on the table, we asked Larry to give us a more in-depth overview of this ambitious plan. And you can find that in his new piece available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me earlier this week to delve into the plan's various pieces. First, in broad strokes, what is the plan trying to accomplish? What will we see happening in Riverside going forward?
Okay, well, first of all, a couple of basics about Riverside. It's a low-income, predominantly African-American neighborhood in the northeast section of Wilmington. There are about 700 housing units there. Roughly 300 of them are public housing run by the Wilmington Housing Authority. Using 2010 census data, almost all of the 4,000-plus residents in the community are living in poverty. Per capita income in the area was less than $9,000. Nearly 40% of the adults had not completed high school, and only 1 in 8 adult males, had jobs. This is 2010 data. Reach Riverside, which is a new redevelopment organization, is going to try to change that. Some of the key components of the plan are these. Building about 400 new housing units, some subsidized and some at market rate, to replace those 300 WHA units. Replacing the community's hub, the aging Kingswood Community Center, with a modern building. Expanding the Eastside Charter School to include high school grades and creating a new emphasis on community wellness. And through it all, building a new core of leaders within the community. It's an ambitious project, and it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money.
And as we noted when we talked about the teen warehouse concept that's part of this earlier this fall, there is a great deal of local support behind this initiative. How broad is that? Who's involved in trying to make all of this stuff happen?
Well, okay, we've got many of the same players as in the teen warehouse and a lot more. You got the state, you've got Wilmington City government, you've got Newcastle County as government. On top of that, also on board, University of Delaware and Delaware State University, and of course the Wilmington Housing Authority. And then if you look at some of the individuals who were serving on the board of directors, these are real strong leaders. Delaware State University's Provost Tony Allen, Rob Buccini, who's the leading real estate developer in the city, Gary Stockbridge, the president of Delmarva Power, and about a half dozen other government and civic leaders, both past and present.
But there's also an outside group involved here now. Who is that, and what are they bringing to the table?
I'm going to say this, this is really the X factor in the project and what's really going to make it go. It's the Atlanta-based organization that's called Purpose-Built Communities. And as nonprofits go, it has deep pockets. Founders and board members in this organization include Atlanta developer and philanthropist Tom Cousins, billionaire investor Warren Buffett. I mean, everybody's heard of him, as well as former hedge fund manager Julian Robertson. Purpose-Built Communities provides consulting services and technical assistance to redevelopment groups that want to work according to their model. And that model is one that's based on improving housing and education and improving, strengthening community health and wellness. All of these are key components of the Reach Riverside plan. Most importantly, they provide these services for up to 10 years, and they do it for free. That's right, F-R-E-E, free. Purpose-Built Communities has 19 other affiliates nationwide. So in addition to having one of its consultants essentially on call or just an email away, Reach Riverside will get to meet with leaders in other communities that are using the same redevelopment model. They can call on each other, share their expertise, get advice, and get support.
And it looks like the first piece of the initiative is going to be the housing part. What is that expected to look like? How is that going to roll out?
Okay, well, we don't know a whole lot in terms of the real details here until the spring. The next couple of months are going to be spent putting together what's known as a master development plan. But we can safely say that the housing part of this development is going to be phased in. They'll probably start with 100 or 120 of the planned 400 units. The first units will most likely be built on vacant land across the street from the current Riverside housing. So Riverside residents can move into the new homes before their old units are demolished. Also, while rents were subsidized at the Wilmington Housing Authority unit, the goal here is to have about 30% of the new units rented at market rate. So this is going to make some change in the overall demographics of the community as well. As for construction, you can anticipate that the first phase of construction will probably start early in 2020, so less than 18 months from now.
How about the other pieces? What are the tentative plans for them at this point?
Well, first of all, quick update on Teen Warehouse. You know, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, I said the Capital One Bank had been asked to donate the old Prestige Academy Charter School building for use as the Teen Warehouse Service Center site. And at the time, Capital One was being cautious about what it said. I think at the time they were still looking at, well, maybe they can sell the building rather than give it away. Well, this week I've been told that Capital One will make the donation and that the paperwork is supposed to be wrapped up by the end of the year. Again, no official announcement yet, but the folks involved with Reach Riverside and the Teen Warehouse, and there's a lot of overlap there, you know, say that official announcement will come in early January after the paperwork is completed.
How about some of the other things, the education piece and the community center?
Well, okay, if you look at the education piece, the community center, Eastside Charter School, probably 3-4 years away from anything happening there. I talked to Charlie McDowell, who's head of the Reach Riverside Board and had spent 12 years on the board of directors for the charter school. And he says, you know, they still want to do a little bit more in terms of amping up the current academic programs there before they're ready to move into expansion into the high school grades. So that's 3-4 years down the road. As far as the Kingswood Community Center goes, the plan there, much like the housing, is going to be build a new facility, probably behind or you know, pretty much adjoining where the current building is. Once the new building is up, tear the old one down. And again, as part of this master development plan that's in the works, they're going to try to figure out exactly what the amenities are, what kind of services. They've got a senior center there, a child care and all that. They're going to continue that, but you know, there may be others. Again, there's a UD partnership here. UD may want to move in there and provide some health and wellness services as well. So they're looking at all of those possibilities, figuring out what's going to go into the new Kingswood, and then no timeline yet on construction, but I would suspect that's probably going to get going around the same time as the housing, maybe a little bit after that.
Let's talk dollars and cents. The price tag being thrown out there is about $100 million. Where is that coming from?
Well, that's a good question. Nobody really knows for sure. Logan Herring, who has been Kingswood's executive director and now is heading the Reach Riverside project, says that price tag is kind of a back-of-the-envelope estimate. So it could be more, it could be less. Herring says that the WHA and Penrose LLC, which is the developer chosen for the project, are going to be applying in April to the state for low-income housing tax credits. So that's going to cover some of the costs. Now, as the project evolves, you're going to see, you hope to see anyway, private investors coming in, particularly on that Northeast Boulevard strip, which is ripe for redevelopment for retail and commercial properties. Beyond that, you're going to see them going to the usual suspects in Delaware, hitting up the big banks and other big corporations for contributions, as well as the foundations. Longwood and Welfare, Laffey, McHugh, and the like. On top of that, they're going to start interviewing consultants who do work in fundraising on a national basis. Then they're hoping that the consultant that they do hire is going to be able to write some grant proposals that's going to bring in some funds from foundations that have a national reputation. And so money coming in, hopefully coming in from all sorts of places. You know, exactly how the numbers fit together, not sure yet. But this is a long project.
What's the community reaction been so far?
One of the things that's been kind of interesting is that Logan Herring and his board of directors have been having meetings with the community before they've had a couple of major announcements and preliminary sessions with the big guns in the Wilmington Power, Delaware power structure. So they're keeping residents pretty well informed at this point. If you look at the history of the Riverside community, these are folks who have been used to being marginalized, being beaten down, not necessarily having their interests heard or respected. This seems to be a little bit different process, and I think as long as they keep the residents involved and make them a genuine part of the planning process, the support is going to continue to be there.
I also found it interesting that Mayor Mike Brzezicki drew comparisons to the Wilmington Riverfront when talking about this project. What's he saying?
Again, when I was talking to the mayor the other day, I couldn't resist. I just had to ask him this because he had been in as the head of the Riverfront Development Corporation for more than 20 years, and the Riverfront project is, 25 years old at this point. He's not saying that this is going to be a piece of cake by any stretch of the imagination, but he did say it's not going to be nearly as difficult as the Riverfront. I mean, in Brzezicki's view, the Riverfront project has been around for 25 years, and he's looking at it and saying, it's really not even half done yet. I mean, they finished one side of the river, and they haven't really done a whole lot on the other. So in comparison, this one is a smaller project and probably more manageable in that context. But it's still it's quite big. And Brzezicki says what you've got to do here is you've got to take this one step at a time. You can't try to bite off too much too quickly, which is why again the housing is going to start with 100, 120 rather than all 400 units. Now, I mean, the other thing that it's kind of interesting about this. I mean, if you remember, there were times during the course of the Riverfront development where people were saying, "Hey, the people in the neighborhoods, all the parts of Wilmington, were saying, this isn't about me. This isn't going to help me a whole lot. This is all about supporting the businesses and the developers, rather than the ordinary folks in town." Brzezicki, is quite clear about talking about the importance of building strong neighborhoods, not just in Riverside, but in other parts of the city as well. And so he's saying, we've got to take it a little bit at a time. We've got to pay attention to the residents. We've got to recognize that they've been marginalized, not always listened to in the past, and we can't allow that sort of thing to continue. And quite frankly, if the residents can work together with the folks who hold the big bucks and who make and are part of the established power structure in the city and the state, if all these groups can work together, I'd say there's a real good chance that good things are going to happen here.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. His piece on the planned Riverside Revitalization Project is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And next, Delaware Public Media contributor John Hurdle heads back to Prime Hope National Wildlife Refuge to tell us the impact the restoration project there is having after just a few years. Stay with us. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.